Episode 110. Welcome to another episode of BoodleNetwork.com. My name is Randy Kintra. I'm glad that you're here. Pivotal episode. Well, in so many ways. Not only just episode 110, but it's an episode about time. Time, the most valuable resource that you've got. You may not recognize that, but it's true. We'll do it next. In 1991, I read a book by a time management guru by the name of Jeffrey Meyer. And maybe it's pronounced Mayer, like in John Mayer. And the title of the book caught my eye. If you haven't got the time to do it right, when will you find the time to do it over? Yeah, I know. Long title, but, I remember seeing that on the shelf, and I remember thinking, boy, that's right. Man, isn't that right? Now, at the time, I will confess, there's no telling how many time management books I had read, and I'm positive that I've read way many more since then. You might be a disciple of Mr. Robert Allen of GTD fame, stands for Getting Things Done. And while I have read Mr. Allen's work, I am not a person who has adopted the techniques and all of the tools of GTD. I know people who eat, drink, and sleep that. And, if Mr. Allen and his organization say, here's what you need to do, man, they jump all over it. They change what they do. I'm not one of those people. Now, I'd love to tell you that this show is going to be about some tools and techniques to help you, get things done. But let's tap the brakes on that for just a minute, because I rather think that time management tools and techniques, I happen to think that they are a bit like, well, you've heard about the world's best camera. The world's best camera is the one that you've got with you. Meaning the one that you're carrying, the one that you can actually use. That's the best one. I think time management techniques and tools are very much the same. I think the best ones are the ones that you will actually use. And I don't know, it may be that there are so many time management books for the same reason that there are so many books about diet, fitness. I don't think there's any doubt that one size could fit all, but it just doesn't, because we're wired differently. And some things just, they just don't float our boat as much as some other things. I mean, you do realize that fundamentally, if we would eat healthy, if we would lower, say, our fat intake, sugar intake, carb intake, if we would eat fresh vegetables, let's say, if we would exercise regularly, it doesn't take a 300-page book to spell all that out. Most of us understand those things, but we don't do them because we don't want to do them. They're not, it's not fun to do those things. And so there's book after book after book after book after book after book. Just, I suppose, for the same reason that there's blog after blog after blog after blog after blog. Because the way that information is disseminated to us, the way that somebody tells us something, well, that can make all the difference in the world. Kind of like various preachers. I don't know what your religious affiliations are, but, you know, somebody can preach one thing and it's, yeah, that resonates with us. And somebody else can preach basically a similar kind of thing, but the delivery's just, it's just not our cup of tea. I think time management books are very much the same way. Now, clearly some have techniques that are different, but so do fitness and diet books. The truth is, whatever you're going to do, whatever you will do, that's what will work for you. Now, I do think that we have to give some serious thought to, I did a video just here recently about, you know, slowing down so that you really make sure that the first shot that you take is an effective shot, and you take the first shot planning for the second shot. But don't, my advice in that video is don't go beyond that. I know people that want to get way ahead of themselves. You know, they want to think 5 years from now. 5 years from now, here's what. Well, here's the problem. The problem is, if the world stands and you're still alive 5 years from now, the time between now and year five is going to pass. The question I've got is, what are you going to do with that time? I understand where you might want to be 5 years from now, but you do understand that to get to year five, you got to go through 3 months, 6 months, the first year, the second year. I mean, I think that's just getting way ahead of yourself. And so many times people, and business people, we can do that when it comes to our own planning. We get way ahead of ourselves when we really should just kind of tap the brakes. Let's take a look at this first shot that we've got, and let's take it, but let's take it knowing that we really need to set ourselves up for the very next shot. I think time management is very much the same thing. I think there's an element of tapping the brakes that we all need to do so that we can make our work effective, and so that we can put to rest this question: if you don't have the time to do it right, when will you have time to do it over? I don't know about you, but boy, there are times when, you know, I rush through something, I don't do it right, I lament the fact that I have to do it over, and if I would have just taken the time to do it right the first time, I would have saved myself a ton of time. I remember I in my grandparents' home, my grandmother had a sign, some little thing that hung in her kitchen that said, the hurrier I go, the behinder I get, or some such as that. And a lot of truth to that. Maybe you've seen those kinds of messages. The more frenetic I behave, the more frenzied I go, the more behind I fall. Not long ago, I was trying to counsel a business owner who was lamenting this very thing. And that, of course, as is the case with most of my shows, it's conversations and it's stories and problems that either I have in my life or that I encounter that other people have. And so part of this is just trying to share those. If you don't have the time to do it right, when will you have the time to do it over? And I find that there are an awful lot of business people who, for whatever reason, they find it very difficult to take the time to do it right. And then they bemoan the fact that they have to spend additional time to now go back and fix it. So what's the answer? I think a number of points that I want to leave you with. I think one of the things is, and there's long been the debate, you know, about it, about the difference between what's important and what is urgent. And in so many cases, the urgency is born of firefighting. I don't remember when I first heard it said, but I caught myself as a young man chiming in, just like all the older heads I had known at the time. Whenever you ask somebody, well, you know, how's it going? Just fighting fires. Just fighting fires. And when I first heard it, you know, it was, okay, it was kind of comical. But then over time, as I understood that that was really how people characterized their entire life and their career, it grew to be pretty sad. How's it going? Just fighting fires. You know, I'm just fighting the fire, fighting the fire. Urgent stuff happening all around you, just flames leaping up at you constantly. Now, I know what that's like. Been there, done that. I finally learned the hard way. It's not because I'm brilliant. I just finally got to a point in my career where I got sick of it. And I just made up my mind, you know what? I'm not going to live like this. I mean, there's got to be a better way. I did it primarily, I'll tell you, because I'm lazy. I mean, if I can do something an easy way and I don't have to do it the hard way, man, sign me up. Sign me up. So I decided at some point in my 20s, you know, this is not going to work for me. I'm not going to continue to chase my tail and run around like a crazy man. And all of that happened long before 1991, by the way, when I read this book by Jeffrey Mayer. But the title has stuck with me. I've still got the book here floating around somewhere. And I have posed that question to myself repeatedly through the years, and I've posed it to other people. If you don't have the time to do it right, when will you have time to do it over? And it 100% of the time, it stops people dead in their tracks because they don't have an answer for it. Now, occasionally somebody will, you know, they'll get on their excuse train and they'll start lamenting all the things that happen and how you don't understand. And I understand. I do understand. And I think any business owner understands. Our days are fraught with interruptions and intrusions and surprises. And I am not at all saying that you can plan your day. You can pre-plan your day, and the way that you plan your day, well, that's just how your day is going to go. Now, maybe you can do that. I have never, ever been able to do that. And I have confessed before, and I'll confess it again here, I have never, ever been a to-do list kind of guy. Now, I am a voracious note taker, and I write down. Well, I write down just about everything. But to say that I have a dedicated to-do list, and I've known people who will talk about and they will wax on and on about how you just absolutely positively must, at the end of a day, you must write out your to-do list for tomorrow, or before you go to bed tonight, you must write out your to-do list for tomorrow, and that's the best way to get a grip of your schedule. Well, I've never done that. I'll go you one better. I haven't even tried it. Because in my world, I just knew it would just be an exercise in futility. That I knew that I could sit down and I could write out various things. Plus, I've always been able to just kind of, you know, multitask on the fly. I've mentioned this repeatedly, and it doesn't bear, it's not worth going into in great depth, but I'm really not a multitasker. I'm really just a monomaniac, and I'm able to do things and move quickly enough, and then it's, I put it behind me. I know people that just manage a to-do list, and boy, that to-do list just continues to grow. And I think that's, for me, I think that's what it would foster. So what I do mentally, and it just works for me. I can't fully explain it, but it's something that I started doing very early in my career, is just assessing, here are the things that are before me. Here are the things that have a time element. These are the things, these things have a deadline. These things are pressing. Yes, urgent. And I just knock them off. I just knock them off and I move on. Now, I also learned, and I did learn this the hard way too, and it's like I learned most everything, and you're probably not much different. We tend to learn really well the things that we had to learn the hard way. Well, I learned the hard way that if I was going to take care of something, if I was going to knock something off of the proverbial to-do list, man, I didn't want it to come back. I did not want to have anything boomerang back. And I don't know if I was just predisposed that way, but I know early on I didn't always, you know, make sure about that. Now, I'm a detail freak, and so dotting I's and crossing T's was never tremendously difficult for me, and I've got pretty strong awareness and pretty strong vision. And so I was able to keep my eye on a number of things. But boy, I wanted to take care of something, fix it, and move on. And I didn't want to look back over my shoulder wondering, okay, well, is it really fixed? For the firefighter analogy, is it going to smolder back up? Or have I completely extinguished it? Well, I wanted to completely extinguish it. I wanted to put it out of its misery and move on. So I'm having a conversation, and the conversation is about a particular marketing piece. It's a communication that's going to go to existing customers for a business owner. As we are winding down the year, it involves some changes in some things that he's doing with clients, existing clients in 2012. And it's just shoot from the hip, very typical, you know, entrepreneurial kind of stuff. And I stopped him and I said, just, you know, I think about this. You need to think about this. You need to think about the wording of this message and how that's going to be received. My advice would be to include this and that and the other. And it was a lot of salesy stuff, marketing stuff. And one of the things that I remember telling him was you should at least think about going ahead and addressing the objections that you know you're certain to face. And his response was that, well, he would craft a second communication and he would address those later. And I said, I would really press upon you to think about going ahead and saying, listen, I know you're going to think this, or I know you're going to feel that. And go ahead and address it now. I mean, go ahead and disarm them and go ahead and take the time to do that now, because you'll be able to save yourself a ton of time down the road. Well, pretty antsy. pretty antsy, as we can all kind of get, you know, we get something in our head and we think this is what we're going to do and this is how we want to do it. And we don't tap the brakes enough to really kind of think it through and to craft the wording when it's something like this. And out came the question. Well, if you don't have the time to do it right, if you don't have the time to thoroughly think this through, then when are you going to have the time to do it again? When are you going to have time to do it over? When are you going to have the time to fix it? Well, you know, we just get antsy. We get antsy. We want to respond. And some of us are more prone to that than others. I freely admit I'm a real proactive guy, and I have to seriously work at tapping the brakes. I have to work at, I won't say a knee-jerk reaction, because that's, I'm not real prone to knee-jerk reaction, but I am absolutely prone to, here's a problem, let's handle it. And sometimes that hurts me. There are many times where I'm better served if I try my best, tap the brakes, think about it, sleep on it. And I'm not talking about decisions, because I am just the opposite when it comes to decisions. In fact, I've had a long-standing philosophy since I was a young man. If you come to me with some time-sensitive proposal, and you tell me that you need an answer like now, 100% of the time, the answer is going to be no. No. But, you know, there can be some problem, there can be some circumstance, some situation that I become aware of, and I think, you know, well, I just need to handle that. And then I can just jump in with both feet, and sometimes, well, both feet end up in my mouth. So I have to work at slowing down enough, because some things do just need time. But when it comes to the things that we do in planning our business, the actions that we take to execute better business, hopefully, we need to take the time to do it right. You need to take the time, for instance, to craft your marketing messages and craft them well and to think them through. You need to take the time to develop your product, your service, whatever it is that you're marketing. You need to take the time to give it your best shot. No, it doesn't have to be perfect. But you need to do it right. I mean, there's a vast difference between perfect and doing something right. And then there's a big difference in just flat out doing it wrong or doing it, you know, really lame. And you don't want to do that. Now, one thing that really kind of pulled the trigger on this for me recently is the number of people that I hear apologizing to prospects and apologizing to customers, just about a variety of things. And in nearly every case, they come back to this. They come back to the fact that the person didn't take the time to do it right, didn't take the time to handle it right the first time. And now they have to go back and do it over. And now guess what they also have to do? Yeah, they have to apologize. Man, I really preach this. I preach this hard and long with clients. Man, do not put yourself in a position when it's very typical of your day that you spend any time at all apologizing. You need to pull back, stand on the brakes, take a full day or two or three or a week off, and rethink how you're doing things, because it ain't working. you will not build a successful business where your day is spent apologizing. Stop apologizing and start fixing stuff so you don't have to apologize. But I find far too many people are in this habit of, well, they couldn't make something happen that they either said they would make happen or they implied that they could make it happen. And now they have to go back and I'm sorry. Whew. Man, recovery can be tough. And when you're living your days trying to recover from those kind of circumstances and situations, you talk about fighting fires. I mean, you are absolutely putting yourself in the worst position possible. And there's just no reason for it. I mean, there is no reason for it at all. So stop doing that. Stop apologizing. Start taking the time to think about your actions. Think about what you're going to do. And think about how you can do it right. And how you can do it right the first time. I remember standing in front of a group of salespeople that I was managing at the time. And one of the fellows in the group was pretty notorious for just, you know, he'd miss little things, and those little things would end up mounting up and turning into big things. Just, it's like they always do. And I had privately coached and cajoled. And I remember sitting down with him and telling him, you know, if you were an airline pilot, how many people would you have killed by now? And he looked at me like I'd hit him in the head with a frying pan. And I stood up in front of this group, you know, 20 or so guys and a few gals. And I said, listen, you go through the drive-through of a fast food restaurant, a McDonald's. You give them your order. You expect that order to be correct. You expect it to be right 100% of the time. You don't want to look in the bag before you drive away from the window. Now, if you're like me, you've been burned a few times and you start looking in the bag, don't you? Aren't there places that you go and you don't dare pull away without looking in the bag? You shouldn't have to do that. You shouldn't have to do that. We don't get on an airplane and hope that the pilot gets it right. We're banking on, we're betting our lives on the fact that he's going to get it right. We're betting our lives on the fact that no matter how many times he's flown successfully without incident before, he better get it right today because we're on board. Your customers deserve the exact same. They deserve for you to take the time to do it right. And if it takes a bit longer, well, it just takes a bit longer because it will take you significantly longer to do it over again. And there you have it. That was fun, wasn't it? Stop apologizing. If you haven't picked up on it by now, I'm just a huge proponent in let's just fix what ails us. You do realize, don't you? I think you do. I think you're smart enough to realize that if we would just fix the things that ailed us in our businesses would be more successful. You want to contribute to the economy? Succeed. That's how you're going to contribute to America. That's how you're going to contribute to your family. That's how you're going to contribute to your hometown, to your community. To your employees, if you've got them, to all the people that you buy products and services from, and those people that buy them from you, take the time to do it right. Take the time to do it right the first time. Fix what ails you. Make your business more successful. Be more profitable. That's what I hope for you in the year 2012. Greater profit, greater success. It'll make all the difference in the world. Hey, have you read a time management book? Is there some kind of a time management thing that just really rocks your boat? I'd love to hear about it. Send me a tweet. You can follow me on Twitter at Randy Cantrell, all one word. I think there's a link over on the website. I'm sure there is. There's a link down at the in the right-hand column down at the bottom of the website. All kinds of social icons. Send me a tweet. Nah, I don't have comments open here. Sometimes I vacillate. I think, well, okay, I'm going to. No, I'm not. Because with Twitter, I mean, Twitter's such a... Is there a better comment system than Twitter? No, there isn't. So use Twitter. That's how you can reach me. Hey, let me end on this because I need some help. Speaking of time management and these kinds of things, do you use any kind of an online tool? Now, I know that many people are fond of 37 Signals, and I am too. Basecamp and some of those things. I have used some of those. I've got some clients that are quite interested, so I'm doing a homework project, and I could use your help. Man, could I use your help. People that are interested in kind of a CRM, and they're interested in kind of an online email ticket, you know, ticket support kind of a system as well. There are a variety of these things out there. I'd love to do a show on those. I just don't know enough about them all, but man, there's a ton of them out there. I saw one today. What was the name of it? Let's see if I can find the name of this thing. It had some kind of a funky name. What was the name of it? It was, seems like it was some kind of an animal. Oh, Blue Camaro. Blue Camaro. BlueCamaroo.com. Online CRM, social CRM, projects, support ticketing, billing, email marketing. Don't really need billing and email marketing, but the other stuff sounds pretty cool. Anyway, it's kind of a SaaS model. If you use anything like that, a little bit off topic here, but if you use anything like that to help manage your business and help manage your time, man, send me a tweet about it. If you got something you just think, man, this is the cat's meow, dude, you need to check into this, then pass that on to me. Again, Twitter, Randy Cantrell. Hey, thanks for listening to episode 110. I appreciate you being here. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is BulaNetwork.com. The city of origin is Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. And yes, this is the Yellow Studio.